السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون، نزلا من غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي زدني علما، ربي اشرح لي صدري، ويسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, everything in this world has two dimensions to it. One is the outward appearance, the outward form, and one is the inside, the inner part, the inner qualities of an object. You take, for example, you get a mango, one is the outer form, the color, the shape, and then you get the inside of the mango, the actual taste of it, the texture of the mango. In the same hand, you can take plastic and you can mold it, you can give it the shape of a mango, you can give it the color of a mango, but nobody will go, it may be used for decoration, nobody will want to go and try to eat that, because it's only a plastic, it doesn't have any taste, it's not a real mango. Similarly, a person look, take for example a lion. The one is the outward form of the lion, the shape of the lion, what it looks like. And we know the lion, the reality, how a fearsome animal it is. We know how strong, nobody will want to go near it, any wild lion for that matter. And somebody can take the hide of a lion, it can be tanned, and it can be stuffed up with different types of material, and it can be given the shape of a lion. So one is the real lion, and one is this one that looks like a lion. The one that looks like a lion, even a small child will go and kick it, will punch it, will poke it, will have no fear. But the real lion, no one will dare go close to it. It just has to roar, and everyone will go very far from that. Then you get currency. One is real currency, which is genuine, and one is fake. A person can take his counterfeit, where they can call it monopoly money, take it, and you go to maybe a jeweler shop to buy something, some jewelry, they will never accept it, won't be rejected. It will be rejected, it won't be accepted. So in everything in life, there's an outward appearance, and there's the inside, the inner, the real, the qualities, the inside qualities. So in a similar manner, with our Iman and Islam, one is the outward appearance. That is, we dress as Muslims, we have a name, we come to the masjid, we identify ourselves as Muslims, as believers. And one is the inside, the reality, the qualities, the Iman within a person, the Islam within a person, his sincerity, his ikhlas, how much he can sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his honesty, his akhlaq, his character, his truthfulness. This is the inner dimension of a believer and a Muslim. So we know there's a world apart between having the outward appearance from the examples given. So a believer, when he has the insight, the true qualities of a believer, the reality of Iman, then he'll be sweet like that mango. He'll be attracted, everyone, others will be attracted to him. The non-Muslims, the world will be attracted. I want to become like this person. We want to be like them. When we have that reality of Islam. And on the other hand, Allah will create ru'ub and fear for the zalimin, the oppressors. They won't want to oppress a Muslim because they understand you can't, don't play around. He's a Muslim, a believer has got these qualities. They have that fear for them. That is why Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they had the true iman in them. People were attracted to them at one hand, on the other hand, they also feared them. The kuffar, the non-believers, although they outnumbered the Sahaba, but they had great fear for the Sahaba. Why Allah put so much fear? Why could 313 Sahaba, ill-equipped Sahaba, could overpower 1,000 non-Muslims who were fully equipped? Why a group of 3,000 Sahaba could overpower 200,000 non-Muslims fully equipped? Because Allah had given them that ru'ub, and had given them that true iman, and had given them that quality. That is why Allah had accepted them, because they had that real, that inside dimension within them. They had the true iman. So Sahaba made an effort. So they not only had the outer appearance, but they had the inside as well. Both are important. The outward appearance is part of our deen, and the inside is also a part of our deen. We need to make effort on both, that we improve on both. We have the outward appearance and the inside qualities. That is when we will have true value in the sight of Allah. Then we will have a true impact in the world, is when we have these qualities within us. We look at Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu, it is the month of Muharram. In the month of Muharram, we think and we remind ourselves of the great sacrifices the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu made when they made Hijrah. They had to leave everything in Makkah Mukarramah and they had to go to Medina Munawwara. That was the ultimate sacrifice. Imagine somebody tells you now you have to go to another land, but you're going to leave your house behind. You're going to leave all your wealth behind. You're not taking anything with you. You are just going empty-handed and you're going to start your own new life. Just imagine that. Sahaba, that was the command for them. It was farz for them. They had to leave their properties, they had to leave their businesses, they had to leave whatever they owned. Whatever they set, maybe for 40 years, 50 years of their life, they thought, you know what, I set myself now, I'm okay. They had to leave all of that and go to Medina Munawwara. They made that sacrifice. Now when they made that sacrifice, why they did it? They did it only to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba, any command of Allah came, everything would be put behind. Everything is secondary. The command of Allah comes first. What makes my Allah happy, that comes first. And that is why they were so accepted and so beloved to Allah. They had the help of Allah because they were ready to sacrifice everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyida Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she says, she doesn't know of any family that had made a sacrifice like theirs. What was the situation? They also, it was hard for them to make hijrah. So she says, herself, her husband Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, and the child Salama, they are going and intending to leave Makkah Mukarramah. No, these kuffar of Makkah, who did not want to see the Muslims win easily. Whatever hurdle they could put on their path to stop them, they would try their best. So the family of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, they come and they say, we are not allowing you to take, she's from our tribe, we are not allowing you to take a woman from our tribe, she has to stay in Makkah, you can't take her to Medina, we'll allow you to go. So they take away Umm Salama with her child, and this is the command of Allah. Who comes first? Do I also stay behind with my wife? Why fulfill the command of Allah, which is fard for me? I got no excuse. I have to go. He fulfills the command of Allah. That comes first. Leave my wife behind. The command of Allah, ask ourselves. Many times, it may be a challenge in our home, fulfilling the command of Allah. Do we give preference first to what our wife wants, what our child wants, over the command of Allah? What comes first? Ask ourselves. We all, each person has to ask their own selves. And then we understand why the ummah, why we are suffering and why we are so weak. So Abu Salama, he continues, he makes his hijrat. Umm Salama says, the family of Abu Salama come and they say, this child, He's from our tribe. He belongs to our tribe. So we are going to keep him. How could you separate him from the father? So they take him away. She says, now we all separated. The father is one. Mother is one side. The child is somewhere else. Every day she would go for one entire year. She used to go to one part and she used to cry and she used to weep because she was separated from her husband. She was separated from her child. And seeing her condition, one person from the tribe went to